which
are we ready? Okay. We'll open up the committee hearing on business and consumer affairs and open up a discussion on 2608. Just find that vehicles not described in policy do not give all the personal injury protection benefits.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you conducted a hearing on House Bill 2608 on May 17th. The bill specifies that personal injury protection or PIP insurance derives only from a vehicle that's specifically described in the policy and not from individual policies that each vehicle or household might possess. You heard a little bit in the testimony about the problem of staffing. And the committee deferred decision because of some discussion related to adequate coverage for trauma care. My understanding, Mr. Chair, is you would like to go ahead to take action on this bill, and if there's no further questions, or if there are further questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Okay. There's a disagreement over raising it from 10 to 20, and the parties can come to an agreement, and I just felt that with the bill coming out from the House, and the amendment had not been worked over there, and I didn't want to jeopardize the best of us, and also just to move it out. And the chair would move 2608 to the floor of the DPAS recommendation. Any comments? Objections? So, Chair, I'll carry it. Open up public hearing on discussion on 2681.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the House Bill 2681 will conduct a hearing on May 17th. Specifically, the bill would direct the Public Utility Commission to regulate public water utilities that also provides wastewater services inside the boundary of a city. You might remember the testimony you heard related to a specific utility within the city of Bend that provides both water and sewer services. And there was a concern related to increasing the rate for sewer charges in order to offset the cost of water charges. And as you may remember, water charges right now for water utilities are regulated by the PUC, but sewer is not. So this bill would allow the PUC to regulate those water utilities that provide both water and wastewater services, but specifically within the boundary of a city. And that's written very narrowly to cover, frankly, this particular utility. You have an amendment in your packet, and that is the -A5 amendment. And if I could take a moment to walk you through what we're doing with the -A5 amendment. The biggest change that the amendment proposes is that it adds an emergency clause to this act. And then there are some other minor adjustments, and those adjustments are, if you have a copy of the bill, you may want to take a look at it to make the review a little bit easier. In the bill, page 1, section 1, step 4, which is the new section added to current statute by the bill, it makes reference to privately owned water utility that provides wastewater services, and the amendment, in order to clarify their services, adds to the public. That's a minor clarification. And then if you go to page 2 of the bill, and this is the A and Gross version of the House Bill 2681, on line 3, again, public utility includes a privately owned water utility that provides wastewater services to the public, is added, and then inside the boundaries of the city, and then added either directly or through an affiliate. And the concern here is that a corporation could create affiliated entities to provide separately the water and the wastewater service. And finally, if you go down to line 26 of the A and Grace version on page 2, that's the section where exemptions are made from PUC regulation for public utilities. And the current statute says any water utility serving less than 300 customers at an average annual residential rate of $18 per month or less and are providing adequate services will be exempted. And the rationale there is if it's a very small operation and they're charging a reasonable rate, then there's no reason to the justification to regulate. Because this bill deals with utilities that offer both water and wastewater services, in order to make it clear, in this exemption, we added one clause at the end, so we need $18 per month or less on line 26. That provides adequate and non-discriminatory service, and that does not provide wastewater services. Just to be clear. And that's the extent of the amendment. I might add that the PUC and the proponents of the bill are in agreement about these changes.
Any comments? Chair, move dash 5 to Senate or the House Bill 2681. Comments? Objections? So whether the chair would move House Bill 2681 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Comments?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I'll give you a courtesy vote. Anything that expands the authority of the PUC is pretty hard to swallow.
Okay. Sounds very good. If you want to wait,
No, that's all right.
We're talking about House Bill 2681, Senator McClure.
2681.
The Bend Water Utility, PUC. We're just about to move the bill to your area, I suppose.
He's fully prepared.
Yeah. Have the record note that you want to be registered as a citizen?
No, okay.
You just want to register that there are some concerns. All right. The motion is to move that bill on the floor with a due pass recommendation. Objection? Senator Bryant. And so we'll open up a work session. 3501, special plan procedure for removal of bodies from the state, dead bodies. My bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This committee, in fact, heard House Bill 3501 on the 17th of this month and, in fact, passed it out of committee. However, the committee did serve notice of possible reconsideration at its meeting on the 19th, and this is the reconsideration of the transaction. The bill specifies procedural for removal of dead bodies from Oregon and for transit and final disposition issued under the laws of another state for transit and disposition of the body of fetus in this state. So the GMS is basically the bill addresses procedural related to individuals who have died in Oregon and the body needs to be transferred out of the Texas area and by transit. And the purpose for the consideration today is an amendment which we have in your packet, and that is the dash A7 amendment. Rather short. We do have a copy of the bill on the printed A and wrote version. On page 5, line 35. Which is providing a provision for the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board to issue something called a certificate of removal registration that would allow a funeral establishment that's licensed in another state to, in fact, remove dead body from this state. And the amendment adds some clarification to other states by saying funeral establishment licensing in another state, contiguous to Oregon, with laws substantially similar to the provisions of this section. That's the extent of the amendment.
Okay, any comments, questions about Dash 7? Chair would move the Dash 7 to House Bill 3501. Objections? Yeah, so there's a little conflict corrections to the statute of the Dash 6, is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The committee adopted the Dash 6 amendment in its last meeting, and the Dash 6 amendment primarily resolved conflict with Senator 29, which we have talked about at the last meeting. We need to have that amendment adopted as well, but we also need Dash 7, which clarifies conditions set upon those other six for reciprocity.
The Chair will move Dash 6 in to House Bill 3501. Objections? So ordered. The Chair moves to Dash 7 to House Bill 3501. Any comments?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Just a question back on the 86th Amendment. Body or feet? This kind of language is...
That is current language in statute. In that section refers to both body and feet.
And the difference is?
Age. But I'm sorry, I cannot remember the...
Is that defined in statute?
We have somebody from... the senator. Yes, we have a...
Please come up and identify yourself for the record. David, is it? David?
Without the fetus showing signs of life. I'm not sure.
And then born.
Well, it would be after full expulsion, in other words, natural birth, but it would not be alive birth. So that in the where a baby is born and it's not born alive, a birth certificate would not be issued. So they would not have a death certificate, but there would be a fetal death certificate. And the statutes are written to account for both circumstances. I have the statute here and could look to see if fetus is defined in statute. That's an area of the law that is principally the responsibility of the state registry. We deal with it, but I'm not directly familiar with it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Miller, the statute 432.005 defines dead body and it has a separate definition for fetal death. And fetal death means death prior to the complete expulsion or extraction from its mother of a product of human conception, irrespective of the duration of pregnancy. The death is indicated by the fact that after such expulsion or extraction, the fetus does not breathe. There's so many other evidence of life, such as beating of the heart, pulsation of the umbilical cord or definite movement of the voluntary muscle. And if that's not clear, maybe we can ask the lawyers in the chief to explain that.
Oh, I imagine it's clear. I just probably have some personal dispute in suggesting that a body that probably or could possibly have been viable, these are legal terminology, that suffered some consequence after viability and is in effect reverted to fetus status as opposed to being a body. And I have some objection to that.
But that's current law?
That may be current law. Yeah. I have not, frankly, discovered that nor gotten into it in session. It wasn't my intent. I just didn't really feel comfortable with that description.
Chair Nelson, this bill does not change that.
Well, I understand that.
Okay, we adopted the dash 6. We're just moving for the dash 7. That's all we're at. The chair approved the dash 7. Any comments? Objections? No, it's 7. Dash 7 is chair removed. House Bill 3501 has amended to the form of the due pass recommendation. Comments? Okay, please indicate that Senator Miller has a no vote. Are there comments, other objections? So I think I was carried on. Okay. Open up a work session on 2020.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2020 is a bill which changes construction contractor registration requirements. If you remember from the testimony, it's primarily changing the terminology from registration or register to licensure or license. And the additional new requirement is an examination which would apply to individuals seeking new license or renewal of license on or after July 1 of year 2000. It would allow the CCDU construction contractors board to develop the licensing program before operative date. We have an amendment. The committee actually acted on the bill and adopted it. But we have an amendment which is necessary in order to conform all the terminology between this bill and a good number of other bills which address the same ORS section. And you have a fairly thick packet of an amendment in front of you, and that's the dash A2 amendment, which is there to resolve conflicts with all the other bills. And I don't think we need to
We
need to reconsider it, and we need to adopt a new amendment. And I should bring to your attention this one aspect, which is besides the general conformance of terminology between this bill and all the other bills to resolve conflict, we did at the last meeting talk about Section 19 in House Bill 2020 and the terminologies there, which were income tax provisions of user registration and licensing. And so that section was fixed as well, just so it's consistent. But that goes beyond strictly a conflict.
Chair?
Yes.
I would move that the committee reconsider the vote by which it passed House Bill 2020.
Senator Byer, move that we suspend the rules to reconsider House Bill 2020. Any comments? Objections? So ordered.
Now, Mr. Chair, I would move that we reconsider the vote by which we passed House Bill 2020.
And Senator Barr move that we reconsider to, we move to reconsider the House bill, what did you say?
In 2020.
In 2020. any comments, objections? So ordered.
I would move the dash A2 amendments.
Senator Barr moved the dash A2 amendments to House Bill 2020. Comments? Objections? So ordered. And the chair would move, or you want to move? Senator Barr moves the House Bill 2020 as amended to the floor with the dash recommendation.
Courtesy?
Courtesy? Courtesy time, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Carrie, well, let's see. If you're, please have to write a record show that Senator Miller has extended a courtesy vote. And deserves the right to.
That's just a great speech.
And four. I've got to get that on record. Okay. Any other objections?
Does that mean he gets to carry it?
I was looking down the side of the bar.
You want to leave, Mr. Representative?
Representative Starr.
All right, he did.
Yeah, Senator Starr. Senator Starr of the show. And where are we? Open up a discussion on House Bill 2320.
Oh,
it is. Okay. Well, we'll reset that. Okay, we have opened up a work session on Senate Bill 204, and this is a, we've been asked to transfer this this bill 284 to Committee on Rules with no recommendation. Any comments on this? Removing 284 to Committee on Rules with no recommendation.
Mr. Chair, Senator Biden. Senate Bill 284 relates to consumer financing, and specifically the bill which directs persons making payday and title loans involved in motor vehicles to obtain license from DCBS. It has been requested to move to move.
What in the committee like to move?
I think we ought to move to judiciary.
How's the real chairman doing? You want to move it to
revenue? Make that move?
You want to move
it to revenue?
He made a motion.
I would like to join in that. I understand that the President of the Senate has requested that we transfer this to a living viable committee. So if you'd like to move it to judiciary, would that be a more compatible motion for this committee?
Well, I hope it would never stand itself.
Well, it might not, in answer.
You want it? We've got an awfully full agenda.
We do have,
I think, seems like the legal issue to me.
Perhaps you should just let it reside here, and then if the need is great, this committee could be reactive.
Well, if this committee doesn't vote out,
but you never know. Yeah. I mean, if they'd be restarted for the purposes of some really important legislation.
And this is the title loan bill. We're moving to transfer it to rules, but I'm finding the distance from this.
Well,
this direction.
So we're going to move things today, and actually we should move that one too.
Move it to our
judiciary.
Is that the motion? Motion now to move it to judiciary?
No.
You can do that.
We had judiciary, we had revenue, we had school, we should do all of it.
Well, Senator Miller is moving that we move it to revenue. Any comments, objections? Comments to this?
As the chair of revenue, he wants this stuff?
I know that we have an extremely tight schedule, and I can't promise that we'll have a full hearing.
Any objections? Okay, we'll open up the work session on 2486, establishing an employee change of work. This is the family leave bill. Chair moves House Bill 2486 to Committee on Public Affairs.
Yes, Chair. I know I guess we're going to do that. I don't think it's important to do this. If we vote no aye, I think that bill should die right here for the same reasons that I noted in voting no on the expansion of family leave. The testimony was very clear that we should leave it just the way it is, and I don't think there's any purpose in doing that. In fact, I thought it was very nice that I got a note from one of our lobby friends from the Associated Recording Industry, so I tried to talk to him on the 10th. He sent me a nice note saying that he called me on May 10th and asked me to pull you off the floor. I apologize for not responding sooner. Believe it or not, I was on family leave. And glad they have their job back, the same job. And I think we should just let that bill end where it is.
Everybody,
I'm just leaving it right here.
Okay. Well, I guess.
The discussion is one that last time kind of held this up a little bit. I've agreed to move it to the Public Affairs Committee, and with the understanding that there are discussions going on between the chair of that committee and the governor, if there is some agreement, then perhaps the concept moves forward, and none of us are bound to support. But that is the understanding that I vote for this. It's not for coming to the floor without the governor's support. No. Well, to continue the discussion, this will do it.
Senator Starr, you are able to first. Okay, so let the record show that Senators Metzger and Senator Byers vote no on the motion to refer Senate or House Bill 2486 to rule or to the Public Affairs Committee, and the Senators Starr, Senators Miller, and Senators Nelson vote yes. This is proviso as discussed by Senator Miller. Yours. Open up a work session on House Bill 2320. And that's the report. This is not a referral.
Mr. Chairman, this is the committee. This is the bill that we heard on the 19th, a couple days ago, which establishes the privilege to prevent compulsory disclosure of employer safe and health consultation report in the administrative proceedings. You heard testimony from Associated Realtor Industries regarding voluntary consultation for the employers initiated and contract for, and whether that is kept from disclosure in administrative proceedings related to safety and health in the workplace. And the AOI representative maintains that the extension that they're looking for is no more than the same kind of protection that is currently afforded to consultations provided by Oregon OSHA in the workplace. And we also heard testimony from representatives of attorneys involved in workers' comp cases and expressing some concerns. Those concerns, I believe, had led to an amendment that was drafted, and I believe Senator Metzger is going to speak further to this.
Well, I'm not so much going to speak further to it as we offer it. Staff is making photocopies of it now, so right now, Mr. Chair, I only have the one copy, so you get back in if you'd like to.
Okay, what was this? Okay. I don't know the gist of that, do we?
May I inquire, Mr. Senator Metzger, is it your understanding that the parties that were before us in our last hearing are in agreement on these amendments?
No. Mr. Chair, Senator Miller, again, I apologize for not having it in mind at the moment. The testimony that we received the other day was a dispute regarding having these consultations. available to perhaps the negative impact on the employer in conducting an OSHA investigation. And that's, they did not want that to, here they are now, did not want that to interfere with that or in any way change the status quo. And what the amendment that you have before you does is to preclude that from being used in an or OSHA investigation. But what it does do, it does allow the employee and their own worker to substantiate claims of their own workers' compensation benefits to be able to substantiate work-related injuries. So there's two different issues there, and the understanding was that we heard in testimony was that they didn't want or OSHA to be able to use those against the employer.
Okay, I recall that we asked, I think Sherry asked our legislative council, do you, would you like to paraphrase his opinion as you want?
I can recap the conversation sure. with Doug McKean, who's Judge Council, suggested this bill. Basically, he was given copies of the testimony from the workers' comp attorneys group. And they have proposed amendments, and my question for him were two. One is, does the bill as drafted accomplish the narrow purpose that was stated in the AOI testimony, as the committee understands? And his answer is yes. And then the second question is, does the bill as drafted go further than the intent, which was the concern shared by the workers' comp attorney group? And Doug's answer is no. I did ask him about the amendment to give an opinion on whether the amendment would improve upon the bill to create that protection and assurance, and his answer is no, he did not see the amendment offer any improvement. If you want Doug to be here to speak to those and check to see if he's available.
I think probably that was the indication that I could receive from him also. So, Senator Vester's motion is to adopt the dash.
Yes.
Okay. The chair's position would be in light of the testimony and the indication from our legislative council to oppose the amendment. Any further comments from the...
I'm not clear, Mr. Chair, if I can begin. If I heard Sherry correct, the amendment doesn't do anything significant?
The amendment does not accomplish one chunk of it's not... understand the objections and the concerns from the workers' comp attorney group. To get their information, he does not see that there is an issue that they had addressed. Two, he does not see the point in the amendment, which means that the amendment does not include upon the current draft, the current bill language to achieve what was intended, which is to exempt voluntary consultation that employers would initiate related to workplace safety from an OSHA, from an OSHA decision.
And if I can, Mr. Chair, as I understand the objection, there's some concern that injured workers might want to be able to use, be able to have access to those reports and substantiating there if they were injured. Is that
yes, their personal
point, yeah. I apologize because I missed the testimony here.
Lisa out here. Yeah, Lisa, would you please come up? And is Jennifer here? Could you shed some light upon this?
Sure. Yes. In fact, one thing. Upon questioning of the proponents, I guess, of the amendments, I asked whether or not these concerns had been raised in the House. The answer was yes. And the House vote was 57-0 in favor of the bill before. So that may add some credibility to what the lawyer has concluded.
It's noticing that everybody in committee voted for it, including Ms. Senator Gardner and Thompson.
Mm-hmm. So, Lisa, do you want to just talk about that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you. If you'll notice, on those amendments that I've just now seen, although I was aware they were being drafted, that section 2 is one sentence, and it just from reading it, doesn't make sense to start the sentence and end the sentence in the same manner. You've got the same words appearing at the start of the sentence, and then the proposed amendment would be to conclude the sentence with the same words. Again, what we've done is this bill, as it's before you in the Engross version, has gone through a lot of rework in the House. It was a much longer bill and much broader, and it was narrowed down to what we wanted was to have the same private consulting reports treated the same as our OSHA consulting reports. And I'd like to remind the committee that these are not reports that employers are required to do. If we're required to do those reports, people have access to them. This is for steps that employers take voluntarily to go beyond what is required by law to make their workplaces safer. And so we support the bill as written, and we would be opposed to the amendment.
May I ask one of the next question? Was the intent of the amendment to allow injured workers to utilize this information or any other?
To verify their own personal workers' comp claim.
And how does the amendment do that?
Well, having not had the legal expertise of my colleagues, and it is rather disappointing that the proponents wouldn't be here to support their own amendment, I would tell you that the intent of it is that when a workers' comp claim is filed, and there, if it is disputed as to being a work-related injury, that such reports could be helpful in if in fact it was noted in such a report that that this is this modification needs to be made because to create such an injury, and that was an injury that was subsequently found a particular worker and that had not been changed, and that could be used to substantiate that the injury was indeed work related in that particular claim. That is the intent.
The difference you said is it's a required report to say it's either voluntary or not. What's that?
I can't tell you that.
You don't have any thought or any?
He's on the book.
He's on his way.
And could be done by now.
Richard just said if you wanted to make an illegal opinion on where our legal opinion is.
Well, Mr. Chair, the drafter of the amendment did have an opportunity to talk with Ms. Weber, I believe, who requested the amendment, and so they did have an opportunity to directly converse about the intent as well as the appropriate vaccine discussion.
Welcome. Please introduce yourself, and we're talking about the proposed amendment to House Bill 2320.
Senator McKean, President of
the House. Thank you. Senator Metzger has proposed this amendment, and we understood that you had looked at it and talked with the parties and indicated that you felt, one, there was no need for the amendment, or two, it was not clear, or something. Could you just sort of clarify for the committee?
Yes. The amendment add the same language at the front end of the section as subsection 2. Back end that already has the front end. And the purpose for that phrase is to limit it to inspection investigations of administrative proceedings under the Oregon Safe Employment Act. It doesn't make sense to me to have it in both places. And I think it's just a very awkward subsection. I propose to just put it at the tail end, which I think would have the effect of saying that the employee may refuse to disclose the consultant report in any inspection investigation of insurance proceedings conducted by the investigator under the Act. And I think that would limit it as the workers' comp would like. I think it would also have the effect of limiting it as the requester of the bill wanted, without having that same claim to use the same
So what would you, what change are you suggesting?
Do the study grants plan and the any taxation of Medicare for bidding. I would take that phrase so that the subsection would read, an employer for which health safety or health compensation has occurred and you refuse to disclose to the court in the annual special investigation or administrative proceedings by the director under the Act.
Yeah, I actually had discussed that with the opponent of the amendment. He did indicate that to them.
That's better. That seems like better language.
They didn't like that, though, evidently.
And so I understand their concern, and I don't mean to speak for them, but they're awful. My understanding of their concern was, based off the phrase of the plan, somehow described when this report would come up, when it would arise, but it didn't necessarily limit when an employer could refuse to disclose it. And they were afraid it would be that an employer would refuse to disclose it in a workers' comp case. And it's my opinion that it says in any inspection, investigation, administrative proceeding under the Act, the Employee Safety Employment Act, without limits on when the report can be disclosed or when the employer can refuse it to disclose it. And he thought it made more sense to that would also
be an advantage for us to refuse to disclose it. Okay. Well, that's like people did. They didn't do the delete. Because this is the same language as you know. If you just deleted that first part and added this, you have what you just said.
Yeah,
so if the amendment had deleted the first line, you would have found that.
They didn't
want to
say that.
They didn't want to delete. So they wanted to start it and end it in the same way?
Mr. Chair, Assistant Performance obviously didn't feel it was important enough to testify in defense of it. I'll withdraw even submitting it.
Senator Miller moves House Bill 2324 in the House of Defense Recommendation. Comment? Objection?
I just want to comment. I know that this is workers' comp law volatile issues, but from my perspective, as we have worked with this over time, the most positive thing that we have done in terms of protecting workers' health is setting up your OSHA office that separates the inspection work from the consultation, and in terms of making workplaces safer. And I see this and encouraging employers to do a work safety inspection is just a way to make the workplace safer. And I think it's a whole lot better to make the workplace safer than worry about it afterwards when someone's hurt and ends up through all that litigation of an injured worker. So I'm going to support this.
Okay. Any other comments? Objections? No worries. Okay, I'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 737. This is the chair removed Senate Bill 737 being referred to Public Affairs Committee. This request was made to me by some of the proponents. This is the jurisdictional conflict between the laborers and the electricians and that type of thing. There's evidently some negotiations going on, and Senator Biffer asked that I keep this bill alive, send it to his committee, and in the hopes that there might be some
resurrection. Okay.
Any comments, suggestions? Other than the size? No worries. Okay, open up House Bill, a public hearing on House Bill 2661, State Board of Architects Exam. Before, please step forward, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Stephen DeFore. I represent the Architects Council of Oregon, and we would like to ask the committee to refer this bill to the Stars Committee. We have reached accommodation with the Professional Association, the Architects Council of Oregon, and the Licensing Board, the Board of Architect Examiners, which we require an amendment, and we don't have an amendment in legislative council form to present to you today, so it should take about 30 seconds to stand as far as time. so we need to get that amendment drafted.
Okay. Is there any opposition to that motion? Or any other
person?
Any other person? You folks are both happy with this?
Yes.
Proponents and opponents are all happy with it.
Senator Stark?
Good.
Okay. The chair would move. What is this?
First public hearing session on House Bill 2661. The chair would move House Bill 2661 to the Committee on Rules.
Comments? Objections?
More workers.
Sorry. Thank you, Governor. Open up a public hearing on House Bill 2589. And we have Judy Bowman, Jerry Wright, and Joe Brewer. What is that board with our number again? Welcome, gentlemen. I'm on record of never underestimating the power of a woman, all right? Keep it clear, asking community to do your part.
I forget to go first. I'm Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Judy Bauman, and I'm the public member of the Plumbers Board. Thank you very much. I appreciated that. It's a great board. They're very experienced and accomplished and highly thought out in their industry. And I just kind of trailer along and listen. Except for this one issue where I've been very vocal, and that is that we have an adjudicatory function on the board. We hear compliance cases. The board is extremely conscientious. They strive, all of us strive, to be fair and consistent and effective, and the current language and statute, I thought, when I first read the statute, was clear on its face that no person registered to conduct a plumbing business shall employ any person to work as a journeyman plumber who doesn't hold a valid journeyman plumber certificate of competency. And what we started to see rather frequently for a board that only meets once every 2 months, was the kind of situation that was summarized in a staff report that said the respondent's employer was initially charged with employing two unlicensed individuals to make plumbing installations. The two individuals were hired by the employer as laborers. The charges against the employer were dropped because the division was unable to prove the individuals were hired as journeyman plumbers. So the definition of the word employ has been construed for the Plumbers Board in this case as referring just to that one moment in time when a person is hired. And it really is just a moment. You're hired. As opposed to the ongoing meaning of the word employ, which means to use. So the consequence really is that the employer can hire someone not to be a plumber, give that person a job to go out that requires a plumbing, to go out and do that requires a plumbing license. If the person objects, the employer can say, you know, go do that plumbing installation or get fired. And the employee then has a choice of either getting fined or getting fired. What those of us on the plumbing board would like to see is that rather than having this interpretation encourage employers to take advantage of what I believe is a loophole, I think this is just a legitimate loophole, I don't believe the legislature intended that this word be interpreted this way, and I think that the proposal, the bill in front of you fixes it. What we would really like to see is that employers become our partners in enforcing laws that are intended for public health and safety, rather than becoming really an obstacle to that process in what currently is, I must assure you, thoroughly defined, after all of my griping about it, a thoroughly well-defined loophole in the interpretation of the law.
And Jerry, you know, we want to have all the panel pass by their last question.
Yeah, it's just a good bill, good pass.
It's
very right. Representative U.S. Local 290 and myself. The bill is put in by Local 290 and the contractors. So it's not just a labor issue. The contractors, both the plumbing and mechanical contractors and the fire and mechanical contractors. So both contractors can see what the bill on.
Thank you, Joe.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Joe Brewer. I can't add much to the eloquent testimony we've already heard. The agency would like not to be in a position where we're charged to enforce a law that actually forces us to fine individuals who have been directed by their employer to do perform illegal acts. So we respectfully request your support for this bill.
Thank you. Any questions? I don't think there's any further testimony, is there? No. Close the public hearing, open work session on House Bill 2589. Chair will move House Bill 2589 to close the DPAS recommendation. Any comments? Objections? So ordered. Very much for you.
Sure.
Carry that one. And then we're going to this one. Open up a public hearing on 2827. And John and Joe Brewer. Where's your camera?
Well, I got it in the car. It's hard to take pictures of myself and witness them. I did that one time. I'm holding it out, smiling, and kind of gesturing it, but that's three cameras.
We want to start here.
Mr. Sheriff, I may. For the record, my name is John Gervais, representing the National Electrical Contractors Association. And also on this issue, it is supported by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. In the mid-1980s, responding to the need for affordable housing, the homebuilders came to the legislature with a one- or two-family or cable code system that recognized alternative wiring systems or plumbing systems or other subsystems to achieve that. The National Electrical Contractors Association supported that effort because we, for years, had already had a secondary code for electrical installations that allowed for lesser systems in residential circumstances where there isn't as much exposure or safety problems. It was agreed to, though, at the time that it would not change the activity as that law related to the electrical and elevator board in terms of enforcement of the licensing and the code. Unfortunately, the Attorney General, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately the Attorney General, the Attorney General was forced to rule that the statute moved the enforcement of the code to the Structures Board, which was not the intention, and the Structures Board has no electrician on it and does not have qualified lay people to determine code-related problems, and I worked with the home builders and have their blessing on this in the House, and it was unanimous to the House, that we, while the Electrical and Elevator Board still retained the civil penalty and penalizing activities as it related to licensing, that the Electrical and Elevator Board have returned to them the determination if there's a code violation. Because, as you know, in England, it's rare, the Electrical Elevator Board, they probably slept for about 12 years doing it. It's a very complex situation, and you need technical people that are adjudicating that and looking at it in a fair manner. So We asked simply to return that to the Electrical Elevator Board where it has been historically. It does not change anything in terms of cost. I can't speak for Mr. Brewer, but I'll debate him on it, because this activity is already being undertaken by another board with the same staff and the same amount of time allocated.
So,
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Joe Brewer, from the Creator and Building Codes Division. The division and the agency support this board and this bill. It will help us streamline some of our compliance activities, sending one case to the board to address both licensing and permitting violations, where currently we have to send them to two separate boards on many occasions. And John is right with respect to his observations of the structures board. It does not have technically qualified individuals to address electrical issues. So we request your support for this.
Questions? Close the public hearing and open up a work session on Act 2827.
I'd like to thank the committee and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. The chair moves House Bill 2827 forward with a repassed recommendation. Comments? Objections? Okay, that one. Good. Where are we going now? Open up a public hearing on House Bill 3234. Cindy. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Joe Brewer. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Claire's mommy. No, that's not right.
It's
Cindy's Robert, and I'm just forgive me for any mistakes I do make. I've been gone for the last 3 weeks after having a baby, and my employer, Brad Martin's obviously not headed the family leave law, because here I am. I'm here in support of House Bill 3234. It was introduced on behalf of my client, Timber Products Company. It is a bill that extends the period for considering unlicensed practical experience for purposes of licensing certain electricians. A little bit about Timber Products. We have several plants in Oregon. We're the largest wood products manufacturer in the Rogue Valley that's left there in southern Oregon. We have 185 employees in Grant Pass, about 200 in White City, 140 in Central Point, and 370 in Medford. Timber Products employs 50 millwrights who help to maintain the plant, and that's who this bill would cover. This bill deals with limited maintenance electrician licenses. These licenses are common among factory and plant workers that have to do a lot of different tasks to maintain the plant, and just part of that is electrical. Now, they're not allowed to install new electrical equipment, but people with these licenses can repair make different kinds of replacements to parts on electrical equipment. Within the last 10 years, this license changed. Before, it was based a little bit more on training and practical experience, but then the statute was changed to make it anyone who was applying for the license have to have an apprentice license and gain their experience while working under apprenticeship license. In 1997, there was a change to the law that grandfathered in those people who were not working under apprentice license but were garnering experience so that they could apply for the license to their apprenticeship committee, which are all around the state and administer the program. However, the grandfather clause, which was put into place for the 1997 legislative session, was only put into place in 1997. So word didn't get out. A lot of people didn't get there and do it. And so we have a lot of our millwrights who are not now working with an apprenticeship license have garnered the same experience, but not without apprenticeship license, and are looking to get their license, their limited maintenance electrician license. This bill would allow them to do so. I assure you that there is no difference in the experience they've garnered from someone who's under the license. They just haven't done that through the committee. There's a couple of reasons why that might be. First of all, they didn't know. Secondly, there aren't very many apprentice committees in the state. The nearest one to Medford is in Eugene, so it's a little bit more difficult for them. And third, a lot of companies have people coming from out of state, such as Nike and Weyerhaeuser have people coming from out of state who aren't aware of the apprenticeship programs and come in with the experience and want to be able to get the limited license. this bill again will allow them to do so, but only for the year 2000. We extended the grandfather clause to the end of the year just so that people would have a little bit more time to do it. Word could get out and they could travel wherever they had to travel to try to get their apprenticeship license. This bill would not make it so that everyone could get the license if they had experience. It still leaves it up to the apprenticeship committee. They still have the authority to give or take away licenses. So we're thinking that it's not very extreme. It just lets those people who missed out on the opportunity, especially our host family members, to try it again.
Senator Byers.
Cindy, are you talking about people who've been, what I used to call millwrights that have been doing this work in the industrial plants for years?
Mr. Chair, Senator, yes, we are. And many of them have their limited maintenance electrician license because they got it before the law changed. Others didn't do it for some reason. But
when did we adopt the law requiring them to get one?
1995, and there was a grandfather in 1997.
Okay. Joe.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Joe Brewer, Administrator of the Building Codes Division. The division is in support of this request. We expect this will satisfy nearly 200 applicants we currently have for this limited license. The only thing we would add is that we would like to go on record saying that we hope we're not back here in subsequent sessions asking for another grandfather window. We're relying on the proponents to get the word out to their members so they can get this taken care of.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions? Close the public hearing. Open the board session on House Bill 3234. The chair moves House Bill 3234 to the floor of the defense recommendation. Comments? Objections? And Senator Hannon, I believe, is a sponsor of this, so I think he probably had a chance.
Good idea.
There we are now. Open up our public hearing on House Bill 3384. And that is... Who do we have signed up for that? 33... Okay, Douglas Curry, Terry Wright, and Joe Brewer. They're going to stay up there. Welcome. Who's going to start with?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Gary Wright, representing myself to UA Local 290. We can make this really pretty fast if we're in 2 minute questions. But if you have, don't need the time. Under the definition of plumbing, it's a real circular building at the bottom of 922. Pipe structures and other equipment for medical gas, anesthetic waste, and vacuum systems. And maybe with that little comment, I'd turn it over to Doug Curry, who's actually a contractor who goes out and installs this stuff.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Doug Curry. I work for Heinz Mechanical. We are a company that does med gas installations in most of the major campuses in the Portland metro area. And I am running into all the time defaults in systems and whatnot because of this type of instances where qualified people aren't doing the work. And we, as a shop, and especially as a guy that puts this stuff in, we're in full support of this.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much.
Mr. Brewer. Mr. Chairman, and for the record, my name is Joe Brewer, Administrator of the Building Codes Division. Happy to be here on still another Building Codes Day at the Business and Consumer Affairs Committee. The division is not speaking in support of this in an attempt to expand the plumbing licensing law. We do, however, believe these installations should be performed to some standard and inspected by some authority. So in that respect, we ask your consideration of the bill.
Okay. Okay. Questions? Comments?
That is Dakota Testimony.
Yeah. We're going to close the public hearing. Open up a work session on House Bill 3384 and the chair moves House Bill 3384 to follow the due path recommendation. Comments?
Objection. So ordered. Who would like to carry this one? This is.
I can't pronounce it.
Oh, Senator Miller.
He speaks about putting people to sleep. He's going to be good at that.
Open up our House Bill 2821. Open up the public hearing on House Bill 2821. Tom Lindberg and Joe Brewer.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Joe Brewer. Very briefly, Administrator of Building Codes Division. The agency division thinks this is a good idea because it actually reduces fines, and we think that's just fine.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tom Lindberg. I am the chairman of the State Board of Boiler Rules. We noticed a discrepancy in the plumbing situation between the boiler code and the plumbing and electrical code, whereby if there is a delinquency, our fees were doubled. Everybody else just raised them by 50% in order to get them. We want to go along with the rest of them. We believe it encourages smaller government and, you know, all that.
That's
a band.
That's like a Senator Miller bell. Did he sponsor this number?
Chairman, that's where I was playing.
Any further comments? Close public hearing on, what is this, House
2821.
House Bill 2821 on the work session. House Bill 2821. Chair moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Comments? Objection. So ordered. I'm not scared. I tell you what. Okay, open public hearing on House Bill 3144. I know we're getting these we have lots of witnesses here. Well, we just wanted a couple of folks to come up, actually, because everybody's in favor of it. 231.
What number, Mr. Chair?
3144. Okay, there's a group of Bruce Holliday, William Elliott, Mike Smith, Chris Thompson, Grant Davis, Wade Young, James Sampson, Raymond Miller, David... Stephen Kifori, do you have somebody in your group that should select a spokesperson to come up and testify? Welcome, gentlemen. Sorry to keep you waiting, but
okay, thank you.
Please introduce yourself and let's see.
My name is Mike Smith. I'm the chair of the Structural Engineering Association of Oregon's Legislative Committee. Met with most of you individually, and so I won't go into a great deal of detail about the bill. You usually don't have to twist an engineer's arm too hard to try and get him to talk less, so to be able to be brief. This bill creates a structural engineering license. Currently, Oregon doesn't recognize structural engineering as a separate license from any other discipline. So this creates a structural engineering license. The bill is similar to one that the laws that California has adopted and also Washington. This really isn't groundbreaking legislation in any respect. So I'm not sure how you'd like to proceed. If you'd like to, if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Gentlemen, do you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Jed Sampson, president this year of the Structural Engineers Association of Oregon. And I don't know exactly what we have. A lot of people, technical people here, a lot of people with a lot of experience, probably. You know, in the range of 30 years of experience in engineering behind me. I guess just to kind of sum it up, I think it's a it's a good bill. It would increase public safety, and it's something that is a kind of a win-win situation. There's it wouldn't really change the way things are done now. There would be some minor changes, but the majority of the way that we would do engineering would stay intact, just like it is now. What this does is it helps in the future. So I believe in the future it would create better structures, safer structures.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is William Elliott. For the record, my address is 2250 Park Road, Lake Oswego. I chair the Cycling Safety Policy Advisory Commission for you. I want to make three points. There was a recent report done by the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, which indicates the types of loss of life and damage that we can expect by county statewide. There's a reference to that in the handout. In addition, there was a task force during the last legislature that made this as one of their recommendations. And the Seismic Commission, at one of our recent meetings, has voted to support the bill 3144 in its original version. And that's where we are. We believe this is a good bill. It will provide expertise to owners that they may not necessarily have now without the new protections.
Any questions at this time?
Mr. Chair, I can speak to that.
Sure. Go right away. That's it, right?
Thank you.
Can you follow the word in the minutes in your telephone?
Yes, she did. The concern about the purpose of the amendment is to clarify that this bill will only affect engineers. The concern is potential, since there are architects who design buildings and also design structural components of buildings, the concern was that the limitations or the additional requirement would affect architects as well. So the amendment clarifies in the bill that the bill only applies to engineers.
We're okay with that.
We both talked about you in good shape with that. Any further questions?
So this is the only breakout now of the engineer in terms of the generally someone that a licensed engineer can do anything. Theoretically,
I think the law says that they have to be knowledgeable in that area. So an electrical engineer, for instance, if he was practicing structures, would have to be knowledgeable in that area of structures. But the
determines knowledgeable.
The engineer himself determines that until he does something that's wrong, and then the State Board of Engineering Examiners, Osgills, would.
So when we get done with this one, someone who is a civil engineer, a structural engineer, could theoretically practice civil engineering, but not as social necessarily. They have to have the qualifications of newly adopted rules.
That's correct. The structural engineering license will be in addition to the professional engineering electric licenses. It will be an addition.
However, it does exist now.
It does exist?
It does. There is a... You can be registered as a structural engineer at this point.
Okay. Can you be registered as other kinds, huh?
Okay. Okay, thank you. See, we just explained your amendment, and everybody seems to be all right with it. If you want to say anything, you're certainly welcome.
Yes.
So, close. Any? Yes.
Mr. Chairman of the committee, Stephen Sikori, Architects Council of Oregon. I want to say that architects use structural engineers, and we're very pleased with the bill. We think the people with the expertise are to do any work. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to close public hearing. 2661 and... Oh, and open up work session on House Bill 3144. All right, then we need the dash two. Chair would move the dash two to... House Bill 3144. Any comments? Any objections? ordered, and the chair moves that House Bill 3144 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
As amended.
As amended. Comments? Objections? The word. Carry. Carry by our chair. No, where are we? Open up a public hearing on House Bill 3590. And we have Jerry Schmidt and John and Joe again. Jerry, John, Joe. Representative Tim Terry wanted to be here, but...
I'm looking at the fast piece bill and he went out to play golf. Sorry, Andy will get you to
Mr. Chair, for the members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jerry Schmidt. I'm here today representing the Oregon Groundwater Association. This bill came up late in the session because some of my constituents in the groundwater industry, well constructors and pump installers, were taking a continuing ed class in Wilsonville, put on by the state electrical inspector, only to find out the existing statute, as we were informed, wouldn't allow us to do the activities that well constructors have been doing for the past 30 years. So we approached Representative Sperry and asked to use one of his priority bills to get this thing through. It's a minor tweak. What it allows is it allows a limited specialty electrical license for pump installers, and it doesn't create anything new. It just allows them to do what they've been doing when they're repairing, installing a pump. They're able to wire that pump and splice that pump wire when they're wiring in the pump. It does not allow them to do electrical work. The Oregon administrative rules clearly define what things they can do. For instance, underneath that license, they can't go in and wire a panel or things of that activity. So it's a small fix. I do expect that we'll work on this situation further during the interim because there were some other issues that were brought before us, but they're more complex, and we need to sit down with representatives of the union to understand how these things fit together. So we're going to form a working group during the interim to see if we can come back with a further refinement. For instance, Mr. Chair, there are some rural establishments that the well constructors will work on, for instance, the rural restaurant. Underneath the present language, if in fact a pump had quick, we'd have to send out both an electrician and a pump installer to fix it in rural Oregon. But it is such sensitive language when we start talking about dealing and commercial activity that we need more time to discuss it. So during the interim, I have talked with the state electrical inspector and representatives from the union to see if we can sit down and work together and get some language. They, on the House side, they also asked about the continuing education, and I think we do need some more refinement about that issue, and we're willing to sit down and talk about that as well. But it was late in the session, and we wanted to move a bill forward to resolve the issue. And with that, thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
There's not a lot of wiring to this detail.
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, no, there is pump controls often. There are pumps that are set into the well, sometimes centrifugal pumps setting on top of the well. Historically, it doesn't involve a lot of wiring because this the pump controls come from the manufacturer. The pump installers are quite familiar with how to set those issues up and get them working. And I guess what we're trying to do is not have redundancy of efforts in this issue, but where these people are dealing with a very limited aspect, and that's setting the pump or repairing the pump. It's not talking about rewiring of electrical panels, for instance.
Sort of reminds you of 95, the Fukushima thing with water heaters.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Joe Brewer with Building Codes Division. Division is neutral on this bill. I just wanted to go on record saying that our understanding is this bill simply allows what's currently restricted to residential property to be performed on agricultural property as well, no commercial installations, for instance. We do understand there have been discussions about refinements, education, continuing education that will be held during the interim, and certainly the department is interested in ensuring that these folks are qualified and trained to do what they're doing. Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, thank you for the opportunity to once again be before the Senate Committee on Business and Consumer Affairs. For record, my name is John Gervais of the National Electrical Contractors Association. This is not the kind of thing we'd like to see happen, although in reality, does take place on a daily basis. I guess we're legalizing something that has been illegally done for a long time. The biggest concern I have is for the safety of the individual, because in these situations you have very high voltage and water. This isn't quite like a water heater. It's a lot more voltage, and you can, I guess you could say the penalty for not knowing what you're doing is electrocution, very simply. But it's been our suggestion that they develop some sort of training program, because this license requires no training of any kind, any time, any place. And again, I know a lot of farmers, having been editor of the paper in Brineville for 4 years, that did this on a routine basis, regardless of whether legal or not legal, and did it pretty effectively. But if somebody's going to be in the business of doing it, and they're going to hire employees off the street that have no training whatever, perhaps they ought to develop some sort of training to protect that employee from, again, a very high voltage and a water situation that could take somebody out. Happy to answer any friendly questions you have.
There's actually some, the testimony by Jerry indicated there were going to be some interim work and things like that. Is that, have they discussed that with you?
But yes, they did. And they seem to feel a responsibility to, I guess we're passing the cart before the horse in the sense, or, although we'll have to come back in the next session with legislation to require the training. Otherwise it won't be utilized, but at any rate, they do seem, as most business people are responsible, it'll be the infrequent individual that'll hire someone out of the street and send them out to, reminds me of some of the loggers that I used to work for. They'd hire someone out of the tavern after someone got hurt at 6:30 at night, and they'd go to work at 4:30 in the morning, and they were a logger the next day, setting jokers and falling trees. And they learned by getting, learn how to run fast.
I appreciate the anecdotal stories. I sold pumps for many years as a manager of Farmers Co-op, and the best pump man I ever had was a retired logger.
Well, being the son of a logger and a mill owner, and having worked in the woods since I was 7.5 years old, which was would be very illegal now, started skinning cat when I was 14, D7. I think that loggers are among the finest people in the state. Certainly some of the brightest and best trained and highest ethically and morally and otherwise.
Jerry, do you have any comment to that? You want to say?
The band will be here at any moment.
Mr. Chair, just for the record, I wanted to clarify, my name is Jerry Schmidt again, just for the record, I just wanted you to know that these folks that do have this limited pump license do have to require a year in performing the actual work before they can get a license. What we're referring to is taking somebody that has that license, then go hire somebody to work for them, and then send that person out into the field with them. And that's the situation we do want to resolve. I talked to Representative Gardner on the other side on this issue, and both of us agreed that if you sent somebody out of the field that didn't know what they were doing, first you would probably call them pretty easily, and you wouldn't have an employee any longer, but also you wouldn't have a customer either. And he recognized that in fact, does not occur. But we're perfectly willing to fix the situation. I mean, and I talked to John and told him that we would be willing to sit down and try to work out some language to make it work.
Mr. Chair, if I may clarify a point that
And again, I think they have good intentions, and we'll try to do the right thing. I do want to say, though, that while they have a license or have to work for a year to get a license, there's no training in that department. They just have to be in that job for a year. Then they become a pump installer contractor. It's more of a registration and spending time than any kind of other department, whatever.
Any questions?
I just was wondering, Mr. Chair, and there's the correction on discussing. We don't have to send that down to us.
Yeah.
Any further comments? Close the public hearing. House Bill 359, open a public or a work session. Excuse me.
Move the bill before we do that.
Okay. Senator Byer moves House Bill 359 to the board with a due pass recommendation. Any comments? Objections? No worries. Anyway,
you must have ran out of buildings, though.
I could put me down and I could carry that one. I'm a farmer.
Conflict of interest. You're a farmer. You can have a pump.
Well, we're just getting right down there here. One comment we noticed hearing up for later in the day. Is that the last one, Ben? So, what's the one we're hearing? Now, if we could just keep two people here we'll come back.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, we're not doing a hearing. We're doing a work session on Senate Bill 271. And the purpose for that work session, which unfortunately has seen notice time 30 for 3 o'clock this afternoon, which is 27 minutes.
What it is.
Yes. He is to keep alive a bill of this committee and the Senate has subsequently passed, which was Senate Bill 272. There is Senate Bill 272. Went to the other chamber, dying committee, and in order to resurrect that bill, which is a good bill, we have the instrument of Senate Bill 271, which has the exact same relating clause. If the committee desires can do a guiding stuff, put the content of Senate Bill 272A engrossed version in place of the current bill language in Senate Bill 271, which would then allow us to keep that idea alive.
Mr. Chair, that we have to do this executive hearing if we want to.
24-hour notice.
We'll have to get it at 3 instead of 5.
We received the request yesterday at about 2:30.
So we're going to try to If we have just 3 of the committee members that would be available at 2, that would be...
I'd be happy with this.
Okay, I'll be here. Is there any other committee member that might be available at 3 o'clock that could just be with the committee to
meet? We can do it at least in one down a basket. I can do that. I've got a written at 3, but I can
All the committee needs to do is adopt the dash one amendment to Senate 271 and then adopt the bill and
public hearing until 3 o'clock.
Is it a training corporation?
Yeah.
You've been here a lot for training, yeah? I never seen anybody love training so much.
I guess. I run for my life all the time. I know what training is about.
What? Well, thank you.
Only the thing that I'm
true. Try one with them three.
Really?
Yeah.
How about
953? 953. What's that? Joe wants to try one more time to get some agreement. They discovered, the city did not discover they have a problem with the AG's amendment he got. That's right. They're funding it. They can't handle electrical for the city administration. So they decided, which we fixed in the bill. He said they decided that, well, maybe there is something in there that they
want. Wow, that's good news, I guess.
I'm doing that because it's good, but the house is excited about what they have. They have special opposition.
What is it?
Well, that's the one that's very much from the
house. Ah. Okay. Sure.
Anthony, what do you think?
Can you mentioned 587 is this. It's up on Monday morning. 587 is a very unique club.
Yeah.
Support it.
No.
Because there's no way to make him okay. No, he doesn't like the idea at all. If he sees it as a threat to him,
you know.
No, and that could, frankly, the city, the way he did it, all of his concerns about pain. For example, the city of Oregon City decides that if they had a major concern, all they would have to do, if they want to do that, is hire off the list. When they had a
problem.
And he did that. They do, but they have a problem which we fixed by day 7. The problem is they're subjected to bidding.
Well, and I think they just wanted to take the entire program and go with a private.
Yeah.
This reminds me of bidding activity, but it would be a long term thing.
Yeah, I'm
complete of it. Well, that's going on all over the place.
I know.
Which hasn't been very effective.
Hasn't been? Well, Brewer isn't very impressed with very strong.
We don't get
it. He got one now. He was telling me about yesterday where the city premises exercised the option that they contracted out for the prison. And now they're doing a sewer treatment plan to go do this. They now are coming back, have written a letter back to him to ask the state to come in and do a master permit on their sewer treatment plant because they don't want to pay the fees to the contractor. It's about $4,500
and the most problem is this is in the bounce, you get a big client to go Packard and Corvallis or whatever.
Okay. Open up. What are we opening up for?
Work session on Senate Bill 271.
Okay, we open a committee meeting and open a work session on
Senate
Bill 271.
Mr. Chair, you have in front of you an amendment to Senate Bill 271.
Mr. Chair, I agree with the amendment.
That's the gas one.
That's the amendment.
Okay, we have to start with the amendments that are removed. Any comments? Objections? So ordered.
Chair, I would move Senate Bill 371 to the floor with the new cutoff. As amended.
Senator Barr moves Senate Bill 371 to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation. Comments? Objections? So ordered. I think Senator's next year. I carried the...
You do it again? I didn't want to see it.
Somehow got lost in the process.
How exactly did it get lost?
What's the story over there?
What happened over there?
I went to the wrong committee, is what you're saying. It's kind of going to another committee, is what you're
saying.
Okay.
Thank you. I was going back to you guys. We were out for another party, remember, June 3rd.
Yes.